Rather than creating new parties, we must make peace between the existing ones. In other words, what is quite clear from the perspective of Frankl is that this conference, that is the reform conference he is participating in, is too radical, is too polemical, is fighting its battle against the Orthodox, and is creating great divisions among the community. In other words, what emerges here is a kind of conciliatory position on the part of this rabbi between one extreme versus the other. The one extreme is the literal interpretation of Revelation, and the other extreme is the zeitgeist, or the spirit of the times. How do we construct a Judaism which is not just following whatever is the fashion of the day on the one hand, or simply literally following the law as it was given on the other? How can we find some way of adapting, of changing, of adjusting, which is neither the one nor the other? Frankl eventually despaired of the whole conference and left the conference, walked out. And clearly, at that point, he begins to define himself with respect to a new position, which he will eventually call, as we said, positive historical Judaism. For him, and the first words he used to describe this, it's very interesting how his language evolves over time, is to maintain the integrity of Judaism together with progress. Here the word progress replaces the spirit of the times, and the integrity of Judaism means more or less the practice, the ceremonial law, the things that Jews do to make themselves Jewish. If not the literal interpretation of the law, some relationship that is positive and meaningful with respect to the law. Integrity, a commitment to practice, not just to lofty intellectual ideals. Frankl therefore sought a path of affirming both the divine, eternal notion of Jewish revelation and the changing historical basis of Judaism. Here is the dilemma, and we faced this dilemma when we spoke several lectures ago about does history damage faith or not. Here's a person who is grounded in Wissenschaft des Judentum, who knows the scholarship, who is going to found, as you will hear, a seminary of rabbinic significance in Breslau, which will commit itself to historical philological research. This is not the old-fashioned yeshiva. It's not the old-fashioned academy of traditional Jews. He is an historian. He thinks historically like Geiger thought historically. At the same time, he's not willing to give up on the notion that God spoke on high and said, here is the law. In other words, he believes in the divine essence of the Torah, of the Bible. How can you have it both ways? In other words, does history allow for this kind of faith? How can you believe in a divine authorship of the Bible, of divine authorship of the revelation of God, and at the same time speak about historical development and historical evolution? The issue for Frankl was to also identify a mechanism of change in Judaism, a mechanism not solely divine, nor resting solely on the subjective will of each individual Jew. In the first case, as he said, it's impossible to be a literalist. You can't take the position of Moses Sofer that nothing can change. We are evolving human beings. The Bible was given at one point of time, but it requires interpretation, elucidation, even to be rethought and to be reformulated. And therefore, being a literalist doesn't wing it. It's impossible within the context of the world that we live in terms of what we know about the world, in terms of our own inner rationality. At the same time, what's wrong with reform? Reform has gone off the deep end. When you say that the only arbiter of what I do is my own individual conscience, then what you have is total subjectivity. What you have is total chaos, basically. What you have is a situation where every individual decides for himself or herself what to believe in. What right do you have to call each the sum total of these individual beliefs Judaism? Everybody's doing their own thing. And what if that person would choose, let's say, as a good Reformed Jew, to follow a Hindu ritual or a Muslim ritual or a Christian ritual? If it's following his own conscience, then what prevents him? In other words, is there any way of preventing him from or her from leaving the Jewish fold? Individual conscience creates total chaos.